If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends.
Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Renee is a Toronto film student at Ryerson trying to finish her practical thesis. The film she's directing is about seven young women who want to join the army, not individually, but together, all seven, as a group. Renee's problem is, in a world full of male film profs, male directors, male editors, no one seems interested in her girl power creativity. They say there's too much content, but not enough narrative. But can Renee remain true to her vision even as she spices up her story? Spice It Up is a meta-movie dramedy about making a film and the film the filmmaker's making. It's co-directed by Calvin Thomas, Yona Lewis, and Lev Lewis, the founders of Toronto's Lisa Pictures. Spice It Up opens Friday, August 16th at Toronto, in Toronto at the TIFF Bell Lightbox, and Calvin and Yona's newest film, White Lie, is an intriguing dark tale of a cash-poor university student who concocts a cancer story to raise donations and maybe make friends, which is having its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival this September. So look out for that one. And I'm very pleased to have here in studio Yona and Calvin to talk about what it's like to spice it up and the consequences of telling a white lie.
Hi there.
Hi, Yona. Hi, Calvin.
Hey.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And welcome back to CIUT. I spoke to you about 6 years ago about your film, The Oxbow Cure.
Was it that long ago?
It was a long time ago. And I just want to say each movie for the next one that I've seen is a quantum leap ahead in the nature of the film.
Oh, thank you very much.
So you guys seem to like uncategorizable movies that morph through different genres.
Yeah.
Talk about what is your feeling on film? Like, let's start with Spice It Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Spice It Up came, we had the idea for Spice It Up right after The Oxbow Cure, around 6 years ago when we last saw you. And it was a reaction to doing a movie about one character who doesn't say anything. So that movie was almost silent. At least in dialogue
That's
terms.
Right.
So we thought it would be fun to do a movie with seven teenage young women that talk all the time. So I think we've had a reactionary kind of decision-making to our films as we go along. Jumping ahead to now that Spice It Up is finished and now we have this new movie, White Lie, it's a reaction in a different way, but I think it's a bit more of a traditional, slightly more accessible commercial film.
But let's talk about Spice It Up.
Yeah.
It has three directors. Who did what?
Well, there were two cameras.
Yeah.
And a couple different mics. And so we were just all doing everything together. There were so many people on set, such a large cast that we were sort of corralling people all the time. And, you know, Calvin would go speak to this person. I'd go speak to this person. Lev would go speak to that person. And, you know, we'd get all of our thoughts across through all of our different mouths.
Was it made first as the original film, which is also called Spice It Up, within the movie, and then you added the shell plot around it?
Yeah, so in 2013, the summer of 2013, we shot it just the film within the film, expecting that it was going to be the final full film.
Right.
We sort of worked on it for a long time. We edited for years and years, and it never really 100% clicked for us. We liked it. We liked a lot of what was going on there, but it was kind of one note. That note was loud and screamy, but it was one note.
Loud, screamy, music video, dancing around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay! Type of over the top.
Yeah. Very over the top. So we felt that it needed some contrast. And so we spent a while trying to sort out what that meant. For a while, we thought about adding seven other young women outside of it, making a high school project about this. So we knew that we wanted something outside of it, sort of a framework story. And that just was too complicated to organize. It was just too much. And it also maybe wouldn't, in fact, give that contrast we were looking for.
Yeah, so it would be like the same thing again.
Exactly. So we ended up thinking it made more sense just to have one person, just this one sort of lonely solo person working on something about all of these other people, about these close group of friends.
And does she represent you guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, in the movie, she feels good about this movie that she's presenting to people, and everyone's saying that it's not a good movie and all these things are wrong with it. You know, it's exaggerated, but we, for years, had this movie, Spice It Up, with the seven young women trying to join the army. We thought there was something in it, and that's why we never gave up on it. But we just couldn't quite get it to click. It just wouldn't finish itself. And so, having her sort of be a surrogate for us to kind of finish the story, it worked really well.
Yeah. One of the Renee character's biggest frustration as a young filmmaker is she keeps bringing it to these film experts, and they don't bother watching it. They just come up with pat. Excuse, I'll say for myself as a critic, I never do an interview unless I've actually seen it. I've seen both your movies
very recently,
so yeah, it's not my fault. But do you ever experience that where people judge it without actually watching it?
I don't know if we've experienced that as directly ourselves. Certainly, we know that that's a societal issue where people rush to judge something before they've actually seen it in any great detail. But I think those people were representations of people, not necessarily just people who had seen the film, because most of the people we saw, we knew who we had shown the film to, thought there was some merit in it. It was more just our own experiences as film students, our own experience just sort of trying to be filmmakers over a period of time, not necessarily just exclusively with this one film.
And this applies to all your movies. They all seem to center on female characters. And I've noticed, I mean, we haven't talked about the third film yet, but people who express themselves through dance. where did
that's
this come
funny.
From?
No one's made that connection yet because no one's seen the two movies. Dance, I don't know.
Because certainly the seven friends in high school, yeah, a lot of us just spent dancing around.
That came from wanting to do a Bring It On movie. Like a sort of experimental, lo-fi high school movie. So that's where that dance came from. I think dance in the new movie, White Lie, is a little, is just sort of a background element.
Yeah, but I think with White Lie, I think in each case we have a different reason for it. It just happens to be a running theme. With White Lie, it was more specifically that we wanted her to do something physical that would show off her transformed body in some way. And we felt dance did that quite well.
I do remember, I mean, I haven't seen it since 6-7 years ago, but Oxbow, there's also the lead character. She does some sort of yoga or dance or something.
Well, she's got a sort of a physical illness that requires her to do sort of stretching.
That's what it was. Yeah. But I do remember like Anna and Matt and a leotard doing the whole thing again. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're maybe figuring things out about our own work that we haven't spent too much time thinking about.
Delving deep into your hidden motive.
But aside from our first film, which does follow a young boy, a 13-year-old boy in Amy George.
Oh, okay. Which I haven't seen.
Yeah. It's just kind of worked. I don't know. We don't really think about one character or the or gender when you're thinking about writing. It's just sort of what comes to you, and we stick with it. And the other films that we've produced as well also have been all female driven. We don't know what
or female led, there, not necessarily driven.
Led, but yeah.
So let's talk about the movie that's having its world premiere at TIFF. It's called White Lie, and it's about Katie, who tells a white lie that she. You know, she has melanoma, she's going through chemo, she shaves her head. What's the harm in that?
Yeah,
but
no big
gradually
deal.
The web becomes more, the more and more complicated until she can't seem to, she doesn't know how to escape it.
Yeah.
So I remember reading about a case on where a girl and her mom go on Facebook or one of these online things to earn money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was a real scam. But is this based on a true story? What inspired you? Where did you hear about this?
It's not based on an individual case. It's based upon a sort of a modern phenomenon of people doing this kind of thing. It's as social media grows and people can hide behind their computers more, it's easier to kind of create these kind of frauds. And so more and more people are doing this. And we first, almost a decade ago, heard about one individual doing this. And we started thinking that was a fascinating thing. So we explored that a little bit more and saw that there was people all over the world, but a lot just in Canada alone, who were doing this, where they're faking an illness, going on GoFundMe or Kickstarter or any of these kind of things and asking for money. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time just living just on the web, but sometimes they're also taking it into the real world, as you're speaking about shaving their head, tattooing things about cancer on themselves. You know, I heard about somebody who got raised money to go to Disneyland or something before they died, but they weren't sick at all. This is a thing people are doing.
But let's delve into the character of Katie, mm-hmm. who is the center of it. She doesn't seem to be greedy. She's not trying to make millions. She just, I think she's just trying to, it's hard to know. I mean, is she a psychopath? Is she trying to just make friends? Because she carries this lie everywhere she goes until it becomes more and more complicated. Talk about the character of Kate.
I think that's the fascinating thing about what Yona was just talking about. Most of these real life cases, they're not stealing a ton of money.
That's right.
The what they are gaining doesn't seem like it's worth what they have to do to keep up the lie. And that was really fascinating to us. And I think it's most cases, it's just people making very poor decisions and then not being able to get out of that lie very easily. And so it's this idea of just trying to continue it until it basically, you know, you ruin yourself. That's what was most fascinating.
But that's what drew us to it at the beginning, is that the lack of massive financial gain they're getting from this. So we wanted to start exploring what else they could actually be getting out of this.
In the States, it's usually, oh no, I have a medical problem, I don't have insurance. But in Canada, everyone has medical insurance,
trickier,
so it's not
yeah.
quite that. And this one, like all your movies, have a very Canadian feel to it. I know Oxbow is up in cottage country. Mm-hmm. Spice It Up is clearly Toronto. They go to Moss Park, things like that.
Yeah.
In this one, is it Hamilton?
Yeah. That's right.
I was just guessing from the industrial stuff.
Yeah, but, shot in Hamilton and set in Hamilton.
And it was supposed to be Hamilton. It was supposed to be Canada. It was supposed to be Hamilton.
Yep, that's right.
So it doesn't seem to be purely, oh, I need it to cover my illness. It's just, can you show sympathy to me? Mm-hmm. She seems to have this need for affection. No spoilers, but it is revealed that her mother is dead and her father is estranged. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you could talk about this roots of a desire, a need to be liked.
Well, I mean, I think we all feel that to some degree.
For sure.
And I think that she just is unable to deal with that feeling. Doesn't really know how to handle it and makes a wrong decision, basically. But I think we've all felt that desire ourselves, and especially we have her set at university, so she's away from home, away from whatever world she came from for the first time.
She's studying dance, right?
She's studying dance.
Dancers.
Yeah. So, you know, you certainly when you go off to school, you can feel extra lonely. You can sort of feel disconnected from the world you came from, and lots of times people do start doing sort of unusual things when they get away from home for the first time.
I also know, even though it's a, I assume it's a present day story, not set in any earlier period, but you seem to concentrate on tactile things that you hold. So cash and envelopes and notes written down and photocopies. Can you talk about how you make a movie in a digital age that's still visible on a screen?
Well, we tried to use cell phones as much as we could, and we tried to make it as modern as possible and not shy away from that. However, as Yona said, a lot of these cases are take place out online, and so they're posting things constantly. That's very hard to do in movies unless you literally just show the screen, which is not that exciting. So we had to come up with obstacles and things for her to gain that were physical, so that you could sort of the drama could take her to different places, and that it, you know, the film didn't just take place on a phone or a laptop.
And finally, I wonder if you could talk about the lead actress who. Clearly, she did have to shave her head for this.
Yeah. Casey Rohl, who plays Katie in the film, is a fantastic actress. We lucked out getting her, and she was very game to shave her head, which we were thrilled about. That was always something very important to Kelvin and I.
So it's sort of the basis of the character.
Yeah, right? It's the basis of the character, and we knew that we didn't want to just do a bald cap. We wanted someone to actually do it.
That would have been terrible.
We needed the authenticity of that. We needed people to understand that this person had really done it. That narrowed our search a little bit, but Casey is incredible in the film.
She's a rising star. She's a rising star. So I think people. Yeah. I mean, the movie hangs on that performance. If you are irritated by her, or by the performance, I think there's no movie. And she's just so fascinating and watchable that I think it really makes the film.
I've been talking to Calvin Thomas and Yona Lewis about their new film, Spice It Up, which opens in Toronto at the TIFF Bell Lightbox next Friday, not today, and in September, White Lie, this dark, dark drama, very Canadian story about a girl who decides to have cancer for the fun of it. which is having its world premiere at TIFF in September. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thanks so much.
This is Daniel Garber of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.